my heart. And we need to hide the Word of God. So if you would stand with me and turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness." Somebody say hardness. "As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Somebody say, that's me. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Notice it isn't fruit, but it's fruits. I want to read that in the second Timothy 3 and 6 in the NIV. It says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." And I want to preach to you, talk to you on this thought this morning. Chosen. Just the word chosen. Somebody say chosen. I've been chosen. Tell your neighbor and say, "I've been chosen. I've been chosen." Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Maybe lift your hands. And let's pray. Let's give it all we got this morning. Come on. We've come to have church. Let's give it all we got. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. God, we're chosen, Lord. We pray that our hearts will be open, not distracted, God. We've come to hear from you. We've come to have church, God. We've come for hearts to be filled and lives to be changed. People to be blessed and healed and delivered and set free, God. Bondages to be broken, oh God. We come together in Jesus' name, oh God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever received a phone call and somebody on the other line says, "I'm just calling. I've been called to or chosen to call you because you've been selected or you've been chosen." And then they proceed to tell you that you've been chosen or selected for such and such. And maybe you get one of those calls in the mail that says you've been called and chosen for jury duty. You know, maybe you get one of those callings or chosens. But when you're chosen, it means that you're selected. When you're chosen, it means that when you look at this word in the scripture, Brother Robert, it means that you're preferred. You're the elect. You're picked, Brother Breon. You're called. And when the scripture is telling us about to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, what that is referring to is endure the trouble or the affliction. Most similar to our word hardness would be hardship. Endure the hardship that comes with being a good soldier. Now, there are several veterans here, and we have some in our church that are active military, and we will honor them later this month. But this similarity with Paul, he writes with metaphors in many cases. He uses examples of a soldier because the Romans in that day were a feat or an army that was powerful and influential. The Roman Empire was a very prevailing empire. But he's encouraging his son in the gospel, Timothy, to be strong and endure suffering. He uses writings in his scripture of an athlete. In fact, he talks about bringing his body into subjection. In fact, in one place of his writings, he talks about fighting the good fight of faith, using the boxer. He talks about a runner, one that runs, and only one wins the prize and one is crowned. But he's talking about us of running this race of endurance, of serving the Lord. The Apostle Paul uses the example of a farmer in some of his writings. And the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, in fact, Jesus is mentioning this. He says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, we have been called, and the scripture says that we have been chosen. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We were chosen. In fact, the scripture tells us that when we were even in our mother's womb, He had a purpose and a plan. He says, "I know the thoughts that I have for thee." We were fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist would tell us that we are chosen. He died on the cross for our sins so that we could have life and life more abundantly. The Lord never promised that the road or the walk or life would be easy. In fact, Job tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But the Lord did promise in Hebrews 13 and 5, where He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Somebody needs to get a revelation of that this morning, that the Lord is your helper. He's not just your help. He is your helper. I feel my help coming this morning because we have been chosen for purpose. Like soldiers, we have to give up worldly pursuits and endure spiritually in our walk with God. Like athletes, we must train hard and follow the commandments. We have a commandment. We have a Bible. The Bible, in fact, I've mentioned it before, Wednesday night Bible study. But if you're taking notes and you want to write this down, the Bible is, as I like to say, and it's not original, but it's basic instruction before leaving earth. Like farmers, we must plant and wait patiently for the harvest. We live in a world, in an environment, and we have mindsets of we want it now. We want it instant. We want to airdrop things. We want God to airdrop things right into our life. Before, in the 80s, we used to talk about we want the microwave effect, where it's in and out quick. But even the microwave, you got to at least put it in there for 30 seconds for anything to happen. But now we got the airdrop mentality. You just poke a button and it gets in the next person's computer or their phone, and you got it instantaneously. You can be writing something on your computer and it appears right here on my iPad as I'm writing it. Before, I used to have to send it to my iPad or send it to my email. Now it's just there instantaneous. Can I tell you, it does not work that way with life. You gotta put seed in the ground, and it's gotta have the right time, the season, the harvest comes. But you gotta be patient. Can I tell you? We've been called and we've been chosen. But there takes time for good things to take place in our lives. You're gonna have a roller coaster life in the church and out of the church. You're gonna have good days. You're gonna have bad days. Somebody say, "But the Lord is my help." I've been chosen by God to be a fulfillment of the plan and the prophecies of the Word of God. Amen. We have to keep on going despite the suffering. Yes. We got to remember that it's all about the harvest. Yeah. Sometimes it's a harvest of self. Sometimes you have your own little garden, and you should have your own little garden that spiritually, where the Lord is doing things for you. That's why it was encouraging to see 30 or 40 people stand up and say, "In the 1 month, the Lord answered a prayer for me," or "the Lord healed me." That ought to be. But you know what? It takes time. It takes time for that little tree to grow, for you to get tomatoes or jalapenos or watermelon. It takes time. And us as Pentecostal believers cannot entangle ourselves with the affairs of the world. Paul says that a soldier and a man that warreth doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life, I'll break it down, are people, places, and things. You fill in the blank of what that is. On a Wednesday night, I would teach a 4-week sermon series on the affairs of life, but I only got about 40 minutes this morning. But the affairs of life, what are the affairs of life that affect you? What people or places or things are you getting entangled with in the world that is hindering your walk with God? That will deter you from your chosen purpose. You see, Roman soldiers were not concerned nor engaged in things that would prevent them from the battle. In fact, in England, you have the soldiers at Buckingham Palace, and they stand there, and people all day long walk in front of them back and forth, and take pictures of them and make faces at them and try to get them distracted. But those dudes just stand there. I don't know how they do it. Because I take off that big black hat and I throw it at somebody real quick. They make those faces, make that face at me one more time. You'll see what it's gonna about to happen. I'll bury you with that hat. But they stand there because they got a purpose. Because the queen says that's what you gotta do. It's part of culture and tradition, and they stand there. Hey, if they can do it for something temporary, we can do it for something spiritually. We can stand for holiness. We can stand for the truth. We can stand for revival. We can stand for one another. Not fighting each other, but fighting one for another in the Spirit. Yes. You're not entangled with the affairs. What that means is you don't get entwined. You don't get involved with. You don't confuse your walk with God with the world. To get entangled means to be perplexed or to get tangled up with something. Something that it gets tangled up is a mess. It's confusion. It gets like a rat's nest. It's just a mess. It's gross in it. And you get see some people running cable for stuff and they got cables everywhere, and it's just, you just go in there to clean it up, and it's all knotted up. You see somebody's hair that's all tangled up. It's a mess. It gets all crossways, and it's confusing. You cannot get caught up or entangled with the world because it will mess you up in mind, body, and soul. It'll tie you up. It'll entangle you. It'll hold you. It'll keep you bound. That's some of the things folks wrestle with is they thought I could just mess with this a little bit. Can I tell you that it always gets you caught up? It'll always get you tore down. And before you know it, you're entangled in it. You're intertwined with it. It would say, we don't got time to get intertwined or tangled with, mess with the devil. He is our adversary. In fact, the word Satan itself means adversary. Why would you want to hang out with somebody that is your adversary? Their name alone tells you, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to entangle myself with the cares of this world or anything that's going to tie me down, but I want to make sure that I take my orders from the Word of God and from God Himself. I want to make sure that I apply the Word of God in my life. There's a difference between getting involved and getting entangled. One is entangled when he's not free to get loose. When everyday life comes against us, does it hold us down, or does it just allow us to let our light shine? When things come our way, do we get entangled in it? Do we get caught up in it? When you look this up in the scripture, and some commentaries will tell you that it's like a sheep that gets entangled in the thicket. Things get in its wool, and before you know, it slows them down or wears them down, and they get caught up. Can I tell you that one of the things that the enemy will try to do is just try to wear you out. Yeah. Just try to wear you out. And that's why Galatians tell us, let's not get weary in well doing, because doing good will make you tired. But it says, but keep going, because you'll begin to reap in due season if you faint not. You may have got friends who, they get entangled in everything that pops up. You know, entangled means you won't prioritize your faithfulness to the things of God. Not that you can't, you won't. You get entangled to the job. You get entangled to career. You get entangled with compromise. You get entangled with a backslidden spirit. Proverbs 14:14 says that the backslidden in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You get entangled with temporal things of this world, entangled to hobbies, entangled to worry. Anybody know somebody that knows somebody that was entangled to worry? They like to worry. They worry because they had nothing to worry about. You know, they just like to worry. Worry, do they like me? Worry because they don't know if they're going to be accepted. Worry about if they're going to be validated. Worry about if they're going to have enough. Worry about, I don't know what to do. Can I tell you, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. It doesn't say in the man. Worry about, well, I got to tell somebody and so and so and so. Hey, tell the Lord. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him you've been chosen. You've been chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. You get entangled about the past. You can get so caught up in the past that you're not living in the present. You just get caught up about the good old days, about what used to be, what didn't work out. Well, what did work out? How about that? What did work out? Some of us long for the past that you're missing out on the miracles and the memories of today. Isaiah 43:18 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Who can do that? Only our Heavenly Father can do that. Hey, we've been chosen. We are in the Lord's army. He is our commanding officer. We need to be more worried about what the Lord thinks and what He knows than the assumptions of other people. Can I tell you, you've been called and you've been chosen for a purpose. Entangled with distractions, people, places, and things. I like that because it really summarizes a lot. Because sometimes it is people. Sometimes it is places. You get entangled. Well, I got to go here and I got to go. You have to or you want to?
Right.
Things. Well, the family and friends can distract you from your purpose. Vacations can distract you from your purpose. Materialism can distract you from your purpose. In fact, you can become entangled in life when your possessions or projects or passions possess you instead of you possessing them. Come on, somebody. People, places, and things possessing you. If there's anything that's going to possess you, it ought to be the Spirit and the power of God. If you want to be consumed or OD on something, how about you OD on the Holy Ghost and OD on prayer, and you OD and overdo it on revival and reading your Bible. If you want to overdo it on anything, OD on living for God. OD and say, you know what? I want to give everything I got for the Lord, because when I didn't know Him, I gave everything to everybody, and look where it got me. It wore me down, but I've been chosen. You've been chosen for revival. You've been chosen to let your light shine. You've been chosen to be the city on a hill, the light of the world. I don't want to be entangled with anything, anybody, or any place that's going to deter me from my purpose with God. Because
right.
I've been chosen for such a time.
Right.
We've been chosen to serve the Lord and to make Him known. Chosen means we've been selected. It feels good when you get a phone call and somebody says you've been chosen for this, this, and this, and it's all positive. And there's a great reward on the end of that. That feels good. Do you know that we've been chosen for heaven?
Amen.
There's a a mansion that He's building for you. There's a crown that's going to be custom made for you. Chosen. You've been chosen. He has chosen you to be a part of the greatest revival the world has ever seen, that we're experiencing now in our lifetime. That he didn't choose the apostles to be at the end of time, but He chose us. Why did He choose us? I don't know, but maybe because you're positioned in a place where there's people there that you have influence with, and God's called you and chosen you there to let your light shine, to be the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. He started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and here we are in 2018 in Santa Maria, California, and God has entrusted us with the revival here that we're experiencing. He's chosen you to be a part of it. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He chose you, but He chose us and He's called us for a purpose. Amen. You've been chosen. Are you living up to the calling God has placed on your life? Are you even heeding the call for salvation? See, many are called. If you were chosen, many hear. Somebody say, can you hear me now? But few do. People say, I hear you. But are you listening?
Yeah.
Are you responding? Are you doing? Because you've been chosen. All of you have been chosen for something. You know, there's two fields that we as Christians need to never come off of. We should never come off the battlefield. Never. And we should never come off the harvest field. Those two, if you claim to be a Christian, and furthermore, if you claim to be an apostolic Pentecostal and filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you have been called and chosen to stay on the battlefield and to work in the harvest field. In fact, Jude 1 and 3 says that we would contend for the faith. When you contend for something, you fight for it. We cannot hide the gospel. We've been called and we've been chosen. Some of us have come off the battlefield because we became entangled with everything that was going on around us. And you let down your shield of faith. You put your sword away. You got distracted and entangled with vacations and jobs and trouble and bills and discouragement and popularity. You got entangled with what others were not doing. We got a spiritual battle that we're fighting. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will. It doesn't say he might, or you keep resisting him, he might get the hint. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Tell him, hey man, just keep going south. End up in the ocean, but stay away from me. And can I tell you, if he's bothering you, there's a reason why. Well, say, I never had no trouble with the devil. Well, because you got no power. He don't even mess with you because you're not a threat. But if you're in the battle and you got your shield of faith and your sword, which is the word of God, if you got trouble, baby, that's because there's a blessing with your name on it, or God's about to do something for you because you've been chosen. Somebody in trouble ought to give the Lord some praise. Somebody facing some hardship ought to stand up and say, you're preaching to me, Pastor. I've been chosen, but I'm not quitting. I'm going to fight back in the Spirit. I'm going to war in the Spirit. Come on. Do what it says. Give God the glory that He deserves. Come on. He's called you out of darkness. Chosen. I'm chosen. As a good soldier, we are submitted to God. We have to be able to trust Him. We do what He says, when He says it, and how He says it. Old Testament, in the wilderness, when the cloud moved, they moved. Huh. Come on, somebody. When the food came, whether they liked bread or not, manna, hey, that's what He provided. You're hungry, you eat it. You get what you need today, and tomorrow I'll give you some more and what you need. And one day a week, you're going to get a little bit extra for the next day because it's not going to come from heaven. He'll give you what you need. Sufficient for the day. Chosen. Chosen. We cannot come off the harvest field. We are fishers of men. My father-in-law is a fisherman, but he fishes with a fishing pole. We fish with nets. We throw nets out in the water and we scoop up whatever comes. Sometimes you get big fish, you get little fish. I was going to say ugly fish, but I don't want nobody looking around. But sometimes you get red fish, blue fish, you get salmon, you get halibut, you get real small baby fish. But if you want fish, you throw the net out, you pull it in, and God will make sure He gives you what you need, and you do what He gives you, and He'll bless you with more. You can't say, I just want salmon. Can I tell you, what kind of church do I want? I want a God church. I want an apostolic Pentecostal church where there's miracles and people get the Holy and people get healed. I want white people and black people and Chinese people and Portuguese and Polish. I want all kinds of people because that's what God is. He is the God of gods and the King of kings. He created the world. I don't want to get sidetracked and say, well, I just want a rich church or a middle class church. I came to preach the gospel to all that will hear because we've been chosen. And if it's God's people, He died on the cross, then I want to share the gospel to everybody. And we need to welcome the people that come in and say, you know what? They're rich, they're poor, they're black, they're white, they're Mexican, they're Chinese. But you know what they are? They're God's people. And He loves them. And He died on the cross for them. And they've been chosen. Just like us, we've been chosen. Our labor's not in vain. I don't want to get entangled with social gospel and neglect the gospel. I don't want to get entangled, Brother Skeda, with working for the church all week long, doing good stuff, but forget, Brother Peter, about the Lord of the harvest. Forget about those that need Bible studies. Forget about those that just need a word of encouragement. Well, Pastor, I get intimidated. Hey, don't get entangled with intimidation. I'm not a talker. I'm not a soul winner. I'm not you, Pastor. I'm not a people person. It takes a gallon of coffee just to even get me to leave my house. But hey, maybe you're a behind the scenes person. Well, hey, guess what? We could use you in the house of God. It takes no personal contact to write a card and send it to a backslider and put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. You don't even have to sign your name. You could just put RT on there and they'll think it's from Pastor or Sister Breon or Sister Thompson, but it's part of the will of God that none should perish, but that all would have eternal life. We have been chosen. It takes very little effort to drop a church card on someone's desk in the office, especially if they've been dropping hints to you. Especially. It just takes a neat, clean, and organized house to host a men's meeting or a ladies' gathering. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. Just make sure it's neat, clean, and organized. The house, the casa. Make sure you cut the lawn and dust, you know. Don't want to be sneezing. We've been chosen to share the gospel to everyone. We can't come off the harvest field. We cannot. I'm going to beat that into our church culture. We cannot come off the harvest field or the battlefield. We can't. What if somebody came off the harvest field when it was our time? I'm not talking, Sister Julie, I'm not talking about Saturdays. I'm talking about daily warfare. Daily harvest field. Matthew 9:37 says, then Jesus said to the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth labors into His harvest. Man, I've read that a million times, Dr. Walker. And I've just read that like we do, like you when you read your Bibles. But the thing that's just this week stood out at me is forth labors into His harvest. See, a lot of times we're looking at our harvest. What am I producing? And I've preached that. What kind of tree are you producing? And that applies in the biblical form that I teach that on Wednesday nights. But it's His harvest. It's not, this church is called Revival Tabernacle. I assure you, if and when we ever get a different building, when we outgrow this one, my name will not be on the church sign. Because it's not my church. It's God's church. I'll be on a business card. It'll be in publication because that's just the way they wanted us to talk to. Who's somebody in charge I can talk to? And I can't put Sister Megan's name on everything. So you got to put my name on things. But you know what? It's God's church. Who is the church? The people are the church. We can take all of us and go to the park and we're the church. The church is having a picnic. Really? Yeah, we are, because the church goes to Presker Park and we have a picnic. It's not pastor's picnic. It's not Brother Delgado's picnic, unless we run out of food. But it's the church's picnic. It's RT's picnic. When one person gets the Holy Ghost, it's not Pastor Panero's revival. He didn't bring revival. It's our revival. It's God's revival. When somebody gets healed, it wasn't the man of God that healed him. It was God's power. It was God's spirit that healed him. But we've been chosen. I'm so glad that I've been chosen for such a time. But we're going to have hardships. We're going to have trouble. There's going to be affliction. But it's the hardship. It's the trouble. It's the constant agitation that produces the pearl inside of the oyster. The grain of sand or a parasite gets in there and it squeezes its way in there. And there's a fight that takes place. And what takes place is not seen to us, but it's the fight there in the oyster that the pearl is created. And the process produces beauty that people pay lots of money for. Can I tell you? There's a lot of things that are going to agitate you. There's a lot of things that are going to come into your life that are going to drive you crazy. And you're going to lose the other half of your mind that you already had. But can I tell you, maybe it's working patience or faithfulness or obedience or submission or respect or love. And God is saying, you know what? I got to allow this to happen because you've been chosen. You need to endure. I need you to have some thick skin because pastor's going to send you over here to start this ministry. Or I need you to have some faithfulness in you so you can be trusted with the blessings I'm about to give you because you're about to be chosen. He's saying what God has chosen in you. He's creating it in you while you're wondering why He's not saying why He's doing it. Why you want? I thought I was going to be blessed. And God says, no, I want you to be anointed. I thought I was going to be healed. Well, no, I want you to be a testimony of endurance. God uses the fire to produce the gold and the silver that is in us, just like a silversmith uses the heat to get rid of the imperfections and to get rid of the garbage and the things that are going to produce a purity in us. The Lord does the same thing with His people. He uses the trouble and the heartache. He uses that to produce things in us. Isaiah 48 and 10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace. Ah, whew. Woo, of affliction. That hurts. I know some of you are going to say, I don't want to write that one down, Pastor. In the furnace, I have chosen thee. See, we get excited about being chosen, huh? He said, well, Sister Drazi, maybe somebody else will get chosen to be healed. But Sister Lori, maybe someone else is going to get chosen to the furnace of affliction. Oh God, please let it be somebody else. And He's saying, nah, I've chosen you, man. Because you got a big mouth. I'm going to choose you. You like to talk about all what you do.
Woo! But the scripture says, to God be the glory. So I'm going to put you in the affliction. So when you get up to do something, you remember, oh yeah, it's to God be the glory. I don't want no more affliction in my life. He says he's chosen you in the furnace of affliction.
Yeah.
Woo, that hurts. Yeah, you put somebody in the furnace. You're looking for the fourth man. You're like, where's he at? Say, nah, I got to burn some stuff out of you.
Yep.
Some people only learn the hard way.
Yep.
No looking around. Don't nudge your husband. I saw some of you nudging your husband. Say, man, I'm glad pastor's preaching this morning. I've been telling my husband that for 20 years. Heat and fiery trials are meant to test us, refine us, and to make us better. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He wants to make sure that he is reflected in us. Not our past, not what we say we are. He wants him to be reflected in us in the affliction. So when we come out of it, he says, you know, I'm not who I used to be. Because the old me would have headbutted you on the way out. But the new me invited you to my house for tacos, and I have no idea why, but it was better than cursing you out. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Come to my house on Tuesday for tacos. Instead of driving by and saying, I'm not going to stop and witness to that person, you stop and slow down and say, I'll be right back. I'm about to buy you something to eat, and you give it to them, and you say a prayer for them. Instead of driving by and shaking your head and say, why don't you get a job, man? Why don't you maybe bless them every once in a while? Him that knoweth to do good. And do it not good. To him, it is sin. Ephesians 1:4, he says that he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Our heavenly Father chose us to be holy in him because he is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. He cannot stop being holy because he is holy. Holy. That's who he is. We need to be holy in all manner of conversation, dress, and attitude, lifestyle, mindsets, because it's not what we put on, it's who we are. I am holy, not just because of the standard of dress, but I'm holy with my mouth. I'm holy with my mindset. I'm holy with my finances. I'm holy with my character, because I serve a holy God. He is holy, so I will be holy. Holy means to be separate, called out from the world, consecrated, morally righteous. This means that we don't look to imitate the world and get entangled with the affairs of the world, but we look to imitate Him in our life. We look to resemble Him in our life.
Amen.
When people come encounter with us, as I prepare to close, do they feel the Holy Ghost when we speak? When you walk into a room, do you get entangled with the vibe or the room? Or do you change the vibe or the room? See, Jesus was not always accepted, but he impacted everywhere he went. There were some places he couldn't do miracles like he wanted to, but he still had an impact. He still died on the cross for those folks that didn't want to accept him. The folks that nailed the nails in his hand and nailed him to the cross, that spat on him, he knew that many are called and few are chosen, but he still died on the cross for their sins anyways. Not everybody's going to accept what you have to tell them about the Lord and your testimony. But you're still called and chosen to tell them. He's coming back for a church and a people that represent him. People filled with his spirit and baptized in his name, doing his will, living a holy life that's pleasing to him. Not folks that are entangled with self. Not folks that are entangled with a narcissistic mindset of religion, but folks that have fought for truth, folks that have fought for their salvation, had to fight some faith crisis and some faith situations, some trials, but they fought the good fight of faith, as the Apostle Paul would say. Folks that didn't always get it right, but they serve a perfect God. Folks that fell off the battlefield or fell down in the battlefield,
But they got back up because there was an army of people that held them and said, nobody's getting left behind. We're going to pull you up. Amen. Come on, we got to have resilience and courage in the midst of persecution. We got to remember that God chose us.
Yeah.
Notice the scripture. 1 Peter 2:9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's us. The musicians would come. That's who we are. But notice this. Because you're chosen, because you're a royal priesthood, because you're a holy nation, and because you're a peculiar people, you need to show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have been chosen out of the world, therefore we need to praise Him who called us out. We cannot get entangled with fleshly lusts.
No.
It's a battle. You got your orders to praise Him because we've been chosen. So we take our orders from Him and we praise Him. We march forward. We fight on and we press on. Each week we come into this place and I will preach something that will either challenge you, convict you, help you, or hurt you a little bit here, but I'm treating the wound so that it could be better on your journey towards heaven. But every day, you need to communicate with God, either through prayer or reading of the Word of God. He will lead you. He will guide you. But if there's no conversation, you're not going to know where you're going. You can make the statement, well, God's leading me. You're lying because you don't even talk to Him. You're not even faithful to Him in a relationship. You're not even coming to the house of God to hear what He has to say. But you've been chosen and you've been called and He's brought you out for a purpose.
Amen.
He'll guide you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And then the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are on the battlefield. We cannot come off the battlefield. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have your loins girt about with truth, and your feet, or your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can I tell you that we're in the Lord's army? I'm in the Lord's army. Are you in the Lord's army with me this morning? As we stand, notice this. You have been chosen. As a chosen people, we cannot let the cares of this world distract our praise. I'm not going to let a bad day or disappointment of yesterday hinder my praise to my Heavenly Father. Praise is who I am. It's not what I do. It's what I am. Worship. We need to get entangled with worship. Not just in the church, but out of the church. With our lives. Luke 19:40, He said unto them, I tell you that these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If we don't praise and worship the Lord, there are stones that will become lively, and they will praise and worship the Lord in our place. He's called us out of darkness because you've been chosen. Notice this. We've allowed the affairs of this world, or as Jesus said in Mark 4:19, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. And they choke out the word and it becometh unfruitful. If you continue reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says if we deny Him, He will deny us. Don't let things choke you out. Even if we don't accept it or they don't accept it, He's faithful. 2 Timothy 10:13 will tell us He's faithful. I close with this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that had made us, and we not ourselves. Notice this. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. As I make the altar calls, you step out and you come to the front. You have been chosen for many things. But one thing we've all been chosen for is to draw nigh to God. To give Him glory. To give Him praise. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let's not let things of this world entangle us. Don't worry about lunch. Lunch will be there. Don't worry about the kids in Sunday school. They'll come out. Worry about right now giving God the praise and the worship and the glory that He deserves. You want God to do more? Step out. You need forgiveness? Ask Him to forgive you. You need healing? Let Him touch your body and heal you. You need Him to impact some things in your life? You're called. You're chosen. What have you been called and chosen for? Some of you need to lay hands on yourself. You need to prophesy to yourself. You need to remind yourself what you've been called and chosen to do. Come on, somebody.
So you clean me up inside. You thought I was a disciple. So you sacrificed your life.
Eyes.
So you